Hey, this is Jeff Ratcliffe here. Let's talk about the value in daily fantasy for a minute. The big prizes, yeah, they're attractive, but you have to finish in the top 2% out of thousands of experts to win any real money. So even on your best day, you still feel like you're losing. Now you can play something better. Stat Hero. Stat Hero is a house-based game that combines the best of daily fantasy and survivor pools. Each Stat Hero contest lasts multiple days, but requires only one entry fee, so your money lasts longer. Yes, you can play multiple days with only one entry fee. Stat Hero gives you a smaller contest and more chances to win, and no more competing with sharks or experts ever, because your only competition is Stat Hero itself. Survive the game and download Stat Hero today and see how the face of daily fantasy has changed. Finally, a game designed for the rest of us. Stat Hero now open for NFL and NBA. For more information, please visit stathero.com.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
What is up? It's the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it's Friday, January 24th. 9 days away from the Super Bowl. And I'm not even going to try to do the damn Roman numerals. Looks like a shirt size. It's a really big shirt size. Super Bowl 54. And I want to actually kick today's show off with some thoughts on some props. Now, we're not going to do the nitty-gritty player props. We'll do those next week. And in fact, I have a reason for that as well. You know, typically, the thought process is you get your bets in early, you get the best lines, and you go from there. And in the regular season, I agree. As soon as those lines are posted, I want to be playing them. However, with the Super Bowl, it's a completely different scenario because ordinarily in a regular week, let's say it's week 13, if a sports book's getting action on player props, that is basically about 85% of that action comes from people who know what they're doing. Normal folks who may even dabble a little bit in betting will not basically bet player props during the regular season and even early on in the playoffs. But in the Super Bowl, the novice bettor will bet on player props. So what ends up happening is that first week that the props are up, because you'll see props out there, they're across the board, you know, whether you're talking FanDuel or you're talking offshore books, whatever. They're out there. Vegas, all that. They're out there. But right now, the people who are betting those lines typically are sharper bettors. What ends up happening, though, and I actually had a conversation on SiriusXM with one of the bookmakers from Westgate, and he said that what happens is the second week, so really starting around Monday or Tuesday of the week of the Super Bowl, the novice bettors start hitting those lines, and they purposely will set the lines a little higher than they ordinarily would, knowing that novice bettors are going to bet over. This is something I've talked about on this podcast many times before. There's a psychological thing. People love overs. People love betting favorites. People love overs. Now, a sharp bettor doesn't care over or under. They're going to take the best possible bet, whatever that bet is. They don't care underdog or favorite. They're going to take the best bet regardless of what that is. But novice bettors, favorites, and overs. So what ends up happening is if you actually wait until, and we're going to wait until next week, we'll probably do it, I think, on Wednesday's show. We'll identify the props that we're attacking, and I'm going to go deep. I'm going to go across the, you're going to get some Blake Bell. All right, that's how deep we're going to go. But we're not going to attack it until next week because I want to see if the lines move at all, because they will move. You know, hey, if a book sees that they're getting a lot of action and it's on the over, they may push that line up a little bit more, which might give us some more of an edge if we're looking under. Anyway, that's going to be next week. But today I want to have a little bit of fun on the show with some of these fun props because, hey, the Super Bowl has more things you could ever imagine to bet on. And I'll bring up some that are just silly. We're not going to even consider, but they are out there. But there are some that I'm actually considering as well. So we'll get to all that. Plus, we're going to finish up what we talked about last time. On the last pod, we talked about touchdown regression for running backs. Now, or I guess I should say rushing touchdown because we talked about Josh Allen. Now I want to talk about receiving touchdown regression candidates. Both Guys who are likely to regress in a negative direction and guys who could regress in a positive direction. And I'll tell you, the positive direction folks are pretty darn sexy. There's two names on that list that, oh baby, we should get at a big time value, and they are sexy AF. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but just a real quick overview of this game, the Super Bowl, for betting purposes. When you look at Super Bowl history, favorites against the spread are 26, 25, and 2. So there have been two pushes in Super Bowl history. You're not going to get an edge there, and you're not going to get an edge on the over-under in terms of any trends, because over-unders are 26, 25, and 1. There was no over-under in the first Super Bowl. So, yeah, no edges there. And right now, we're still sitting at Chiefs minus 1. PFF Greenline still sitting at Chiefs minus 0.6, so relatively close. And I don't think that you're really going to find anybody out there who's sharp who views this as a blowout on either side. I know that there are some folks who, you know, aren't bettors and maybe don't pay that close of attention to everything that's going on, who think that the Chiefs are going to blow out San Francisco. I don't see that happening. But here's what we have. So far this season, the Chiefs are 12-5-1 against the spread. That's pretty good. 12-5-1, over 70% against the spread. And against top defenses, so if you say like the upper third, the top 10, 12 in that range. So if we looked at top 12, 6-1 against the spread and the money line. And the only time that loss, that was the when Mahomes was out for those couple games, that was week 8. 49ers, 11-6-1 against the spread, so you don't have any edges here. That's still pretty darn good, almost as good as the Chiefs. 5-0 against the spread when underdogs. So as of right now, I am not making a pick. We'll have an official pick. I'm going to make a play here, but next week I want to see if there's any line movement. However, if you said you absolutely have to, Jeff, you have to pick somebody, I'm still picking the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs win by 3. I think it's super close. I don't think it's big enough right now where I'm willing to make a bet. However, I'm going to let the line movement dictate. And the cool thing here is we haven't seen any line movement this week. So if we see line movement next week, that will be the general public, not the sharps, moving that line very likely. In which case, we go the opposite direction. Sometimes, you know, the sharps during the season, when they move the line, that tells you which direction to go in. You follow the sharp action. At the Super Bowl, you go the opposite direction in some instances. We'll see if it moves. I don't think it does that much. I don't think we see like a 2 or 3 point swing. That'd be pretty surprising. Anyway, over-under sitting at 54. And, I mean, for the Chiefs, every game the Chiefs are in has been relatively high for over-unders. In fact, almost 50 points combined is what they're averaging for their over-unders on the season. It's 49.8, and they are 10-8 on the over. So it's a tricky bet. You know, you certainly have a better angle on the spread for both teams than for the over-under, because the 49ers are 9-8-1, so they're right there, too, on the over. Here's the the previous Super Bowls we've seen up over 50, and this is the third highest in the last 10 years. But I'll go back a little bit further. So last year, Patriots Rams, it was a 55.5. They combined for 16 points. 2016, Patriots Falcons. Of course, how could we forget that game? 57 over under. They combined for 62 points. So they went over even though that's the highest that we've seen in recent history. 2011 Patriots Giants, Eli Manning, 53.5. That was a 38-point combined score for those guys. So the under. Saints Colts, 56.5. That was a 48. So hit the under. And then Patriots Giants as well back in 2007, 54.5. And that was a 31 combined point scoring game. So the under hit in 4 of 5 games there when we have these big numbers. This one is tricky. I want to say under. I did say this on the previous pod, and I think I should bring this up again. If you think San Francisco is going to win, then I'm hammering the over if I'm in that position. Because in 8 losses in his career, Patrick Mahomes, only one time did he lose with an opposing team scoring under 20 points. Otherwise, it's been 25 or more every time, and it almost always requires more than 30 points. So if the 49ers, let's say the 49ers score 30 points on the nose, do you think that Kansas City scores 24? Or, well, really 25. But do you think they get to 24, at least put the push in play? I think so. I think it would be a close one. I think that would be something like 30-27, which in that case would be an over. So just keep that one in mind. The odds for combined score of 76 or more points that would break the Super Bowl record, the odds of that are plus 425 for the yes. So we can convert that to implied probability. And I actually mentioned this on a pod earlier in the year, and somebody thought I meant that this was on PFF site. This is not on PFF site. Implied probability is simply when you convert the odds to the percentage chance that something's going to happen. So what do the odds actually indicate? And there's a couple sites out there that you could use. The site that I'm seeing right now is aceodds.com bet calculator. It's an odds converter. That's all it is. So anyway, you plug in plus 425. I'd love to have the ability to do this in my head. I do not. And that implies a probability of 19%. So there's a 19% chance, according to these odds, that the teams will combine to score 76 or more points. Not a good bet. Just thought it was interesting. Likewise, coin toss is not a good bet. It's minus 103 on over either side. It's a 50-50. If you're the type of person who loves to go to casinos and bet red or black on roulette, which actually isn't 50-50, by the way, because the darn zero, but regardless, or the double zero, too. Either way, if you're that type of person, go ahead. Pick one. Pick the other. Doesn't matter to me. Heads or tails. The national anthem, though, is a fun one. I love the national anthem. I'm not going to bet a lot on this, by the way, but I love having, I'll usually have about $5 on it. It's just one of those, like, do I love the national anthem as an American? You bet your ass. Do I really care about the national anthem in terms of who is singing it and all of that? No, I don't. I mean, it could be anybody for me. I don't really care that it's Demi Lovato or anything like that. I mean, they could honestly put a darn cassette tape in of Whitney Houston's national anthem, that one that everybody loved from back in the day, and I'd be just as happy. Whatever it is. But it is Demi Lovato. And the line, I've seen a couple lines out there, but the most common you'll see is 2 minutes on the nose. I have seen as low as 155 on the line. And we actually do have a track record for Demi Lovato. Yes, this is why you listen to this podcast. It is for hard-hitting Demi Lovato analysis. So her last big national anthem was actually during the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight. Remember that back in 2016. In that fight, she actually went 2 minutes and 12 seconds. 2 minutes and 12 seconds. That's pretty lengthy there. However, she also did do a national anthem for the 2015 World Series. That was the Mets and the Royals. Remember that? Man, that was 2015. Feels like yesterday. Anyway, 158 on that one. She did hold the Brave. And by the way, we'll talk about that in a little bit. She held that a little bit. That's where you can kind of milk the clock a little bit on the Brave. So anyway, one over, one under on 2 minutes, both over on 155. That being said, neither one of these was the Super Bowl. And we know that the Super Bowl is really, especially when you're talking about the United States, it is the biggest sporting event of the year. Nerves can be going a little bit. We certainly see that for players, and it can happen for the performers as well. So does that cause you to speed up a little bit? Potentially. That's why I think that 155 especially is intriguing. Ask me what I'm going to do here. I am going to go over, because here's what we've seen out of the last, let's see, we can go back as far as the last seven. Out of the last seven, we've seen four of the seven go over 155. Renee Fleming, Super Bowl 48, was at 154, so super close. Over 2 minutes for all of those other ones as well. So Alicia Keys in the Super Bowl 47, 2 minutes and 35 seconds. Idina Menzel, Super Bowl 49, 2 minutes and 4 seconds. Lady Gaga, two minutes and 9 seconds for Super Bowl 50. And Luke Bryan went 204 for Super Bowl 51. Now, the last 2 years, though, we've been under. Gladys Knight rolled through it pretty quickly last year. Not as fast as Billy Joel. Billy freaking Joel, man, flying through it. 90 seconds, Super Bowl 41. But Gladys Knight went 149 last year, and then Pink went 153 in Super Bowl 52. I'm going to go in the over. And it's that Brave that I think is the most interesting. Now, a couple other props here, and I think this is a great example of why we should be careful with what we bet on. Because have fun, but don't just burn money for the sake of burning money. Will Demi Lovato forget or omit a word from the national anthem? Yes is plus 550. So basically, this book is saying there's a little over a 15% chance she forgets a word or omits a word. She's a pro. She's done it before. It's not her first rodeo. I don't see any way you could bet yes. And if you're betting no, you're getting minus 1,000. So no, don't do that either. We're going to pass on that one. In terms of, this one is an interesting one, though. In terms of the length of the national anthem that she sings, will there be a scoring drive that takes less time than it takes her to sing the national anthem? Yes, minus 240. No, plus 165. Where, if it were different teams in the Super Bowl or a different team other than the Kansas City Chiefs, I would probably consider the no in play. The no is not in play here. They're saying there's over a 70% chance that there's going to be a scoring drive faster than basically 2 minutes. And I agree with them. It's one of those I don't mind playing the yes on. It's a little bit of fun, sure. But we actually do have some knowledge here of how fast the Chiefs can score. So, and you're not making a lot for the win, so don't play a lot here, but that's another one I'll probably have about $5 on. Will any player take a knee during the national anthem? That's not going to happen. It's plus 550. It's not going to happen. What color will Demi Lovato's hair be during the national anthem? Minus 275 for black, plus 275 for any other, plus 300 for blonde. It's going to be black. I'm not even going to play that one. But let's get to that word brave, okay? So the final word brave during the national anthem, that's where people will hold that, right? This is pretty interesting. Over 5.5 seconds, minus 155. Under 5.5 seconds, plus 115. It's a good line. It's crazy that I'm saying this is a good line. I don't mind playing the over there. I think you could have a little bit of fun. Again, if you're not going to bet a lot, you could have a little bit of fun and try and make a little, you know, a little extra return on investment and play the under. I think she holds it given her track record for over that 5.5 seconds is a long time to hold a note. But we've seen that before, and obviously the odds suggest that will be the case. So the national anthem, here's another one. Well, a couple more about players and coaches during the national anthem. First coach shown during the national anthem. Andy Reid plus 110, Kyle Shanahan plus 120, no coach plus 350, Robert Saleh plus 550. I think it's Andy Reid. And plus 110, it's not too bad. I'm going to play Andy Reid on that one. First quarterback shown, Mahomes minus 150, Jimmy G plus 110. Nobody else listed. Not going to play that one. I could see it being Jimmy G because he is a handsome fella. But, you know, not going to play that one. I will play this one just for giggles, though. First tight end shown during the national anthem, and both Kittle and Kelsey are minus 120. I think it's Kelsey because, you know, you go to the veteran here. He's, you know, he's made the Super Bowl. He's the best tight end in the league. George Kittle's coming along, and he certainly could very well be argued the second best in the league, but I'm going to go with Kelsey on the minus 120 there. Let's talk a little bit about MVP. So Mahomes is chalk at plus 110. You got Jimmy G at plus 200. Mostert at plus 500. Tyreek Hill at plus 1600. Kelsey plus 1600. Kittle plus 2000. Then you have Hardman, Damian Williams, Nick Bosa, and Tevin Coleman at plus 3300. And then everybody else is after that. So, hey, Mahomes is chalk. He's almost even money to win. And that's fine. But you're not going to get a lot of bang for your buck with even money. And a lot of people were giving me shout outs for last week because they said, you know, player most likely to lead the league or lead the week in rushing yards. And I went through and I was like, yeah, sure, you could go with the chalk here and play Derrick Henry, or we can try and make a little bit of money. So who's the next most likely? And we're not going to put a ton in play, but if you hit, it's going to return big time. And we ended up playing Raheem Mostert there. That was the guy I recommended. And I've seen some of you on Twitter, you Rat Packers, said thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome, Rat Pack. So we're not going to play Mahomes here because that's just too obvious. I think, you know, when you look closely at the trends, here's what really is fascinating to me. Since 2007, we've seen 9 quarterbacks win. I'm not going to go through them all. You probably know basically who they all are. 2 defensive players, Von Miller and then that Malcolm Smith one out of nowhere. And 2 wide receivers, Santonio Holmes and Julian Edelman. A tight end has never won the MVP of the Super Bowl. And in Super Bowl history, we have 29 quarterbacks, 7 running backs, 7 wide receivers. But a running back hasn't won since 1998. That was Terrell Davis. Then 94 was the next one. After that was Emmitt Smith. So I think Mostert is a fool's bet at plus 500. I loved him last week for, you know, the bets we played, but I'm not going to play him plus 500. If I'm going to get an edge, I'm not going to play the tight ends because of the history. If I'm going to get an edge here, there's one player who stands out, and it makes a lot of sense when you think about it, and the odds are great. The player is Tyreek Hill. Think about it. Plus 1,600, love those odds. Could he win the MVP? Well, the MVP is a player who either makes, you know, the most impressive or most impactful play of the game, like when Malcolm Smith had the interception, or is a player who completely dominates the game, like Julian Edelman. Last year was really the biggest part of that game for a big chunk of it. Tyreek Hill could do all of that. He could have the best play of the game. He could have, you know, like last week, he could find the end zone multiple times. He could take over the game. If it isn't Mahomes, Tyreek Hill makes the most sense. Now, going into it, knowing full well, hey, plus 1,600... Well, when you look at what does plus 1,600 mean, it means you only have a 6% chance of winning. So know that making the bet. Don't put, you know, all your money on it, but also know that if it hits, you're going to get paid out pretty nicely. Who will the Super Bowl MVP mention in his speech? We have teammates at plus 150, God plus 210, City plus 800, Coach plus 450, Owner plus 1400, Family or Friends or Family Members plus 550, and none of the above. I'd like to thank my hands for being so great. Plus 500. Shout out to Freddie Mitchell. Anyway, I'm not going to bet that one, but here's 2 more that I think are interesting about the game itself. Will there be a safety in the game? Yes, plus 900. No, minus 1430. We're not going to bet the no. Minus 1430. We're not betting that. Are we betting the yes? So this season, there were 17 safeties in 256 games. That means a 6.6% chance of a game having a safety in it this season. Plus 900 means a 10% chance. In other words, we don't have the right odds to make this play. If we were higher up, like if we were at, well, like that Tyreek Hill line, plus 1,600. If we were at plus 1,500, I would make it because that's 6.3%. Plus 1,400 would be about even money, and I probably would, I might consider making it, but not at plus 900 here. I'm not going to do that. Will a punt be returned for a touchdown? No, minus 2,000. Yes, plus 750. Hell no. It is not going to happen, but we're not going to make that play. So don't be suckered in. And I think that's the important thing. Don't be suckered in by some of these. You know, there are funny ones. Will J-Lo show butt cleavage during the halftime show? Yes, butt cleavage was said on the PFF Fantasy Football Podcast. Don't be suckered in. I don't care what the odds are. It's stupid. We're not going to make that play. I think this one is interesting, though. This one about commercials I'm going to make a play on. Which commercial will appear first, Donald Trump or Michael Bloomberg? Trump's is minus 350. Bloomberg's plus 225. Bloomberg's been spending some dough on some ads, in case you hadn't noticed. I may make that play, knowing full well that, you know, probably, you know, Trump's probably going to get the first commercial on, but I'm going to make that play anyway, just, you know, a little bit of fun there and decent return on investment. How about this one? Which will be higher? Patrick Mahomes passing touchdowns or Joker Oscar awards? Mahomes passing touchdowns minus 200, Joker Oscar awards plus 150. The Joker's up for 11 awards. Now, they're not going to win all of them. You figure Joaquin Phoenix probably win. He won the SAG, he'll win. Do they win four? They win four out of 11. Because if they win four out of 11, you take the Joker. I can't believe I'm saying some of this stuff, but it's for real, though. I am going to make that play. Because I think Mahomes throws three passing scores. So if you think the Joker gets four or more, plus 150, I'll take those odds. I will take those odds. All right, one last one before we get over this touchdown stuff. The Gatorade color, always a little bit of fun. Clear or water, plus 160. Lime green, yellow, plus 250. Orange, plus 350. Blue, plus 400. That's a Patriots thing right there. Red, plus 750. Purple, plus 1200. It's not going to be purple, in other words. So do we make a play on this one? You could. It's always fun. If you want to have a little bit of fun with this one, sure, have at it. Here's what we've seen recently. It was blue, yellow, none in Super Bowl 51. Orange, blue. Blue was the two Patriots, 49 and 53. Orange, none, purple, the Giants in 46. Orange, orange, yellow, clear, 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 none in 38, purple in 37, none in 36, and yellow in 35. Man, Belichick has had none a couple times. He's had none three times. Man, don't throw the Gatorade on me. So the recent trend would suggest orange is the most likely outcome given what we've seen here, or clear. Now, clear, obviously, you don't get as good of odds. So we're going to play orange. Plus 350, we'll play orange. We'll have a little bit of fun with that one as well. That's not a hardcore analysis or anything like that, but it is a little bit of fun. So let's get over to some hardcore analysis here. The article went up yesterday over at PFF.com. And by the way, if you want to get in right now over at PFF, PFF 30 gets you 30% off on a subscription. That's a good deal right there. So go check that out. But this article is free. So the idea here is to take a look at wide receiver, tight end, running back, Taysom Hill, receiving touchdowns, and then compare to their actual to their expected number. And remember, we calculate expected based on similar targets for players in the past. So we can go back to 2006, a lot of play-by-play data there. So with this, we're looking at target depth and target location. So how far from the line of scrimmage, where is the line of scrimmage located, and then what was the average performance of receivers with those exact specifications in the past? And then you can get an expected number. So in the PFF era, in terms of overachievers, the biggest overachiever is Randy Moss. He had 23 touchdowns in 2007. It was a record-breaking year, but his expected number was still off the charts at 15 touchdowns that season. He was +8. The next year, he did go back down. He had 11 receiving touchdowns in 2008, which is still a rock-solid season. But that was just 0.4 over expectation. So his expected number was 10.6 that year. So he regressed, like an obvious example of regression. Doug Baldwin, 2015, remember that? Doug Baldwin was off the charts, and from weeks 12 to 16, he scored 11 touchdowns. He was over his mark by 7.1, so 7.1 touchdowns over expectation. Next year, he had 7 touchdowns. His expected number was 5.4. So he's still pretty efficient, but he was, you know, he regressed in terms of overall efficiency. And this is what we consistently observe. If you have an outlier season on the high end, you're going to come back to earth. So the same is true on the other side of things. If you have a really low year in terms of efficiency, you're going to come back up the next year. And the classic examples, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Calvin Johnson, these three are very similar receivers in a lot of ways. You know, body type, target location, all of that. And they also had some of the least efficient seasons. Julio Jones in 2017 He had three touchdowns. He was expected to have 9.9. That's minus 6.9. Mike Evans in 2017 had five touchdowns. He was expected to have 11.1. That's minus 6.1. Calvin Johnson, five in both 2009 and 2012. He was expected to have 10.3 and 10.2 in those seasons. And then Mike Evans in 2015 had three and was expected to have eight. In every single following season, these guys moved back up. So with Julio Jones, in 2018, he scored eight touchdowns on an expected 7.8. So he went from being very inefficient to basically as expected in terms of efficiency. Solid. Evans, eight touchdowns in 2018, was just 0.4 below expectation. So basically a right at expectation, slightly below expectation, but still he went, you know, right back up in efficiency. His 2015 season, he had 12 touchdowns, 1.3 over expectation. Calvin Johnson, Megatron, both of those five touchdown seasons, he followed with 12 touchdown seasons. In 2010, he was 3.1 scores over expectation, and in 2013, he was 0.6 over expectation. So all of these guys who are obviously among the elite receivers in the league at those time periods, right? Or certainly at least, you know, you would consider them elite fantasy options. I know people are going to argue about Mike Evans. I get it. But regardless, elite fantasy options, immediate next season, we see that efficiency issue goes away. And sure, it came back for Johnson. It came back for Evans. And part of that is the target location for sure with these guys. No doubt about it in my mind, the target depth. So anyway, let's use this info to look at last year. And last year, the biggest outlier in terms of plus, you know, over expectation plus efficiency was Austin Ekeler. He was expected to have 3.5 receiving touchdowns. He had eight. Be careful with Ekeler. Mark Ingram also made the list. Expected one receiving touchdown. He had five. Ekeler, whatever uniform he's in next year, it's probably going to be a Chargers uniform, but we don't know. I expect regression in his receiving touchdowns. Same thing with Ingram, not to mention he's also going to be 30 years old. So be careful with those guys. A couple other names who made the list, though, that I thought are very, very interesting because of the attention they're going to draw. A.J. Brown and Cooper Kupp. They were third and fourth on the list. A.J. Brown, eight receiving touchdowns, expected to have 3.8. Cooper Kupp, 10 receiving touchdowns, expected to have 5.8. So they were both plus 4.2. A.J. Brown had all those 40-plus yards. He had four touchdowns of 40-plus yards. That's unsustainable. I think a lot of people are going to, and I like him, don't get me wrong, but they're going to read too much into the touchdown number. And the reality is we shouldn't just be looking at touchdown productivity with these guys because of the big fluctuations. And I think people are going to end up overvaluing A.J. Brown next year. Cooper Kupp is just due for regression as well. He's had, over the last two seasons, he's been essentially over expectation. So eventually it's going to kick in. I think he's more of a mid-range to back-end wide receiver two than what he's shown so far. Like this season, he was more of a back-end wide receiver one. I don't think he is that ultimately, especially given his low depth of target. So just be careful with Cooper Kupp. Now, on the other side of things, some of the biggest names on the negative side, two really stick out to me. Odell Beckham Jr. had four touchdowns, expected number of 7.1. That's minus 3.1. Davante Adams had five touchdowns, expected number 7.7. That's minus 2.7. These two guys are two of the biggest names in fantasy at the position. And because of this year, for different reasons, I think they're going to be undervalued, and I think they are prime bounce-back candidates. Odell Beckham Jr., sure, I get it. People are going to have that mentality, not going to draft him again. Yeah, I'm drafting him everywhere I can this year. Davante Adams, for some strange reason, people think that he had a bad year. He didn't. That's our secret. We're holding that together, just us, Rat Packers. And he's going to bounce back for touchdown efficiency purposes. A couple other names on this list. I won't give you them all. You got to go to the site for the rest of them. But Mike Williams, two receiving touchdowns, expected 5.9. So it was a down year. He was above expectation last year. Who's going to be his quarterback, I think, is the bigger question. But yeah, he was 2.9 over last year. And in some ways, Mike Evans has a little bit in common with some of those other bigger body guys, except he's targeted even more heavily downfield than somebody like Mike Evans is and doesn't see as much volume. We'll see if that ends up changing. Cortland Sutton, though, man, could have had, you know, he was expected 8.3. He had 6, obviously, on the season. It's another one where if he takes a step forward in terms of efficiency, that'll couple with the step forward he took in terms of volume this year, and watch out for Cortland Sutton. Really interesting numbers here. I highly recommend you go to the site and check it out. But otherwise, that's it. I know I said I couldn't bring myself to talk about the Pro Bowl. Here's what I'll tell you about the Pro Bowl. The dodgeball game with Jarvis Landry, that right there, that was entertaining. That should be the Pro Bowl stuff. Just give me the cool skills challenges, the fun stuff that they're doing out there. I don't care about the game itself. And in fact, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. But sure, let these guys have fun. I mean, we always forget too. A lot of these guys are in their 20s. Let them have fun. That was fun. That was fun. And Jarvis is really good at dodgeball. So anyway, if you hadn't seen it, go check that out. That's my Pro Bowl analysis for you right there. All right, so we'll be back on Monday. And of course, next week, we'll continue rocking and rolling with all of this Super Bowl stuff. And we'll actually really start to dive into it all, though, for you next week and give you those player prop bets, analysis of the game itself, what we think is going to happen, DFS, all that fun stuff. In the meantime, PFF.com, PFF30 for that promo code, get you 30% off on a subscription. Do it. Otherwise, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter and Instagram. I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend for another edition of the pod. For PFF, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.